Let me just recap on the question. Can women, should women, do women wear tzitzit?
Okay, so first of all, let's start off with what people are used to is that women don't wear tzitzit. Mm-hmm. Why are we used to it? It's because this is how Jews practice it. You go to any schmo in the Jewish world, and Joe Schmo, and you ask him, what about tzitzit? And he says, well, men wear it. So we're all used to the idea of wearing tzitzit that only men do. And I've actually seen websites, and this actually started off with a question that was sent to me by a friend of mine, mm-hmm. And she knows who she is, because she's a woman and she wants to wear tzitzit. And she gets mocked by certain people about this. And there was a video brought up, posted on Hebrew in Israel regarding women wearing tzitzit. And the video is well presented. It's not, they present as 15 minutes. It was really more like 3 minutes about the subject, and maybe even less than that. They went for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes about the subject, and went on something about the practices of men. So let me start off with something very, very simple. The fact that women don't wear tzitzit in the Jewish world has nothing to do with the decree of men or anything. That was the practice. This is what people knew that was supposed to be. It wasn't something that was passed down by some rabbi who stood up and changed the Torah. That really, enough with that excuse of the rabbis changed things. That doesn't always work. In this case, we just know as a fact that in the Second Temple period, women did not wear tzitzit and had nothing to do with which group they were from or something, in some interpretation of a rabbi. Because here's something very, very simple. The fact remains that in the ancient world, it doesn't look as if women in general wore this concept of tzitzit. Let's just remember something very simple. Tzitzit is something which is found in most of the ancient cultures of this area of Mesopotamia, Egypt, and Arabia, Persia as well inside the picture. It's not something that you see women using. So it looks as if the general practice was that this is an ornament that men only wear, okay? And that might be part of the issue when they forsook the Torah and they decided that they're just going to do whatever, probably a lot of information was lost. It might have been that women wore tzitzit. It might have been that women did not wear tzitzit. But let's look at the text itself. When you look at the text, so, and this is
we're looking
this
at is, Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 and on, and it says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels. I've got tassels in the New King James. Tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corners, and you shall have a tassel. You may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Very good. So the opening statement is, it says that actually the second verse in the statement goes, Daber el Bnei Israel. Speak to the children of Israel. So the word Bnei Yisrael means the children of Israel. And the word Bnei is a construct state form of the plural of Ben, which is Banim. So Bnei is really Banim in a construct state. And Banim usually means males, sons. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The rule in Hebrew is, and this is part of what's missing in some of the explanations. The rule in Hebrew is that when speaking to a group of men and women at the same time, you use the masculine to also mean the feminine. This is a rule in Hebrew, and this is a rule, a well-known rule, shows up in grammar books. This is what I was taught when I was studying Hebrew in high school. I did 4 years of Hebrew in high school. And this was a rule that came up over and over and over again.
Let me make sure I have this rule straight in my head. When the context is clear that the entire congregation is being addressed, clearly male and female, then B'nai is in reference to both. It uses the male to make reference to both, therefore the children of Israel.
Exactly. So standing there saying, well, the word ben means son, so B'nai is always sons, it's never for the women. So here's a very interesting point. So what about everything else in the Torah that mentions B'nai Israel? Mm. The feasts, the eating kosher food, whatever, everything. The moment you go that way, you say, oh, well, okay, so women are excluded from everything. But that's not what it says.
Mm.
It doesn't say that.
No.
When there's a specific reference to women, it becomes very clear we're talking about women. If a woman, anything that's directly related that men have nothing to do with it, then it's immediately feminine. And it's very, very clear. But when he's talking to the entire congregation, we use the concept of Bnei Israel, which means children of Israel, which we include men and women. You know, I don't go and say my children, I mean only my sons, if I had daughters, which I don't. But if I said my children, people immediately understand I'm talking about both boys and girls that might be in my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. Same thing here. So it's actually a rule in Hebrew, because Hebrew is very gender specific. You don't have a you or they, which is not gender specific. It's always either they masculine or they feminine, which is something which a lot of my students take a while to actually really fully understand. Everything has a gender, even like an inanimate object. Yes, that's actually how it is. A chair has a gender. There's no it in Hebrew.
Let me just give an example, because in the same chapter, Yoel, chapter 15, verse 25, so the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. There you go.
Exactly. I think that's very, very clear. So here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma that everyone has. On one hand, we have this practice that, women usually don't wear tzitzit. It is evident in the ancient world that probably was an ornament that only men wore. We do find a discussion in the Talmud that the Talmud actually assumes very clearly that women are supposed to wear tzitzit. The Talmud actually clearly states that. Hmm. Then comes Rabbi Shimon and says, no, women are excluded from wearing tzitzit. Why is Rabbi Shimon saying such an idea? Why is he saying that? He's saying that because the evident practice in the world was that women did not wear tzitzit.
Hmm.
Okay? But here's the other side of the coin. The problem is that the text itself talks entire children of Israel. So I would, if someone asked me personally, are women supposed to wear tzitzit? The answer is probably yes, because we don't see any clear evidence that women aren't supposed to wear tzitzit. Because we say, we only find this ornament with men. But because the text doesn't distinguish between men and women, then we can say women can wear tzitzit. But the problem is that we still go back into this whole thing of, okay, what about the historical context? Did women actually wear tzitzit? And the answer is, we don't really 100% know. If you sit down and gloss over images of women from the ancient world, in some cases they do, in some cases they don't. But you also look at clothing of men, and they don't always have tzitzit either. So
that brings me to another question. I've spoken to some Orthodox Jews that say it has to be on a four-cornered garment, because the instruction is clearly you will put them on the four corners of your garment.
The point here specifically is that the word used in Hebrew is kanaf. It says al kanfe bigdehem, on the corners of their garments, and gdilim tasalach arba kanfot kosotechar techaseba, gdilim, which are tassels, braided things, you put on the corners.
And it's part of the fabric itself, which is just braided in the corners, which makes sense. But we're talking about a four cornered garment.
That's the point. That's not what the word kanaf means.
The word
kanaf means the skirt of the garment. The whole idea of wearing specifically a four-cornered garment, yes, people wore four-cornered garments, it's true. But the word kanaf itself does not necessarily mean a corner, a 90-degree corner, or a slightly rounded corner, something like that. Like a talit or a talit katan or something like that.
You're telling me I have to wear a skirt now? What are you saying?
No, skirt, okay. Listen, in English from a Hebrew speaker, the word skirt means the edges of something. So, for example, you're wearing a T-shirt, and the T-shirt is actually rounded. What you do is you put them on the ends of that T-shirt, on four ends of it. Now, one on your right, one on your left, one in the back, one in the back. That's basically what the word kanaf actually means. Now, and I actually went around asking different people, experts. I sat down with several. I was saying, like, okay, anything I want to stop making up here, I want to compare with other people. So I went to several Bible scholars that I happen to know, and I have quite a few of them as friends, funny enough. Mm-hmm. And I went and I showed them, I presented my information about this, and they all approved of it. They all said, yeah, I mean, if you want to be biblically, strictly speaking, what the word actually means, it means a corner of a garment, not a corner as a 90-degree, but the end of something. Right. And really, if you really read it through, the way it's really interpreted is that when you make your fabric, fabric has a crisscross type of pattern. Most fabrics are like that. Mm-hmm. And, you have strings that come away to the end. And what they used to do is they trimmed the ends when they made their own clothing. And they were basically supposed to leave at the corners strings hanging from it. Mm-hmm. And to that, you add the blue thread. Now, the question is, what do you do if you bought a garment? It doesn't have, you know, someone decided to clean it in such a way there's no ends left. You know, you bought a piece of fabric from some merchant that came from India, and they didn't do that. They didn't leave the ends out. So then you make yourself and you attach it to it. I mean, both ways I think are legitimate. But the fact remains, it doesn't really talk about a four-cornered garment. It says four corners or four ends. Really, kanaf can also mean end, four ends of a garment. So you'd be surrounded by it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be wearing all the time a four-cornered garment. You're not going to be wearing a poncho or something like that the whole time. But here's a very interesting point. If you look at images of people from the ancient world, and if you look up, for example, Canaanites, images of Canaanites, which probably most of them were Israelites, you see that men wore wrap skirts. You know, you wrap them around your waist. So that anyhow has four corners usually.
Sure.
See, you have it on four corners. Fine, you know, but what would you do if you're wearing some, you know, long garb or something like that, you know, a kutonet, a coat of sword or something? Mm-hmm, you know, where do you put tzitzit on that? You're going to open up the back so you can have four corners or something like that? I don't think that's what they did. I think they put it on four ends, and that was basically it.
Common sense. That's very common sense. That's very reasonable. I like that. And also, one other thing. I mean, you mentioned, of course, that Hebrew is masculine and feminine. Everything. There is no it, so to speak. And I kind of like the fact that the tzitzit, what is the plural for tzitzit?
Tzitziot.
Tzitziot, and that is a?
Feminine.
It's a feminine ending. It's not tzitzim.
It's not tzitzim. No, it's tzitzim. If it had been pluralized as masculine, it would be tzitzim. And by the way, I'll be very clear, the root itself, which is the root of tzitz or tzutz, depends how we look at it, can be used for masculine and feminine because you can have a tzitz and you can have a tzitzit. Mm-hmm. And this is sometimes the game that's played. But tzitzit, specifically what we're talking about, tzitzit as fringes or tassels, whatever it would be, that's actually feminine.
There you go.
You have to remember something. What is the last verse which shows up in the prophets? Go to Malachi, to Malachi.
That's not the last verse in the Hebrew Bible.
No, wait, one of the last, some of the last.
Uh-huh.
Not the last one, the one of the last. So you go to verse 22. Unless your verse division is a bit different, because here in Malachi, the Hebrew Bible only has three chapters. The English Bibles usually have four.
And I've got the English, and it does have four.
Yeah, so we're talking about the third verse before last.
Third last verse, which would be in the English anyhow, it would be chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, that's brilliant, with the statutes and the judgments.
That sums up the whole idea of the prophets.
Doesn't it? That's brilliant.
It does. The prophets, their job was to make sure that people follow the commandments passed down by Moses. To all of Israel. That's really what the prophets were there for. And I have no doubt that this is what it's supposed to be like.
Now, when I was in Israel, you and I observed a more recent phenomenon, which was the micro-tallit, the thing called the micro-tallit, which is like a little purse that you wear on the side of your pants or whatever, and it had tzitzit on it. That's some sort of messianic phenomenon that's recently appeared. So a clever way for someone to make money, I think. But is it okay to wear tzitzit on the belt loops of one's jeans, for example, or must we have a prayer shawl, a tallit?
Wow. Okay. So first of all, regarding the micro tallit, the Torah says you have to put a piece of clothing you wear. Mm-hmm. The micro tallit is just this thing you hang on your side. So with all due respect to the belts I've seen and the micro tallit and everything, it's not a piece of clothing. Torah says in the book of Deuteronomy, it says very clearly, gdilim ta'ase lecha, braided fringes, or gdilim means something braided. You shall do for yourself, al arba kanfot kesutecha, on the four corners of your garment, asher techaseba, which you will cover yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all the respect to this thing, unless you put it on your head, it doesn't really cover anything.
It's an accessory.
It's talking about something. It's an accessory. It's like wearing a purse or something. So puts it on your purse. I mean, seriously. But based on the explanation that this is that the word kanaf means a skirt or the rim, then it can be any rim. So your the top of your trousers, where the belt loops are, is the edge of that piece of clothing. So I would say, and I know I have friends who disagree with this, but I would say very clearly that you probably can put tzitzit on your belt loops. Actually, to tell the truth, we always have this joke that, you know, Moses came in, and so what we're doing today, probably start slapping us on the, over the head and saying, what are you doing?
Probably.
So it's to me, it seems that you can put it on the belt loops, and I personally have a four-corner garment. I just do what everyone else does because there's no point in being different. But essentially, I don't think there's a problem. So, for example, even if you have a skirt, does she have to put it at the bottom end of the skirt or the top end of the skirt? And I would say either way, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Sure. So the question that then arises is some people object to what you've said because they say there is no four corners on your – say you put your jeans on. Where are the four corners? What are you talking about? But does not Isaiah talk about the four corners of the earth? I mean, where are the four corners of the earth?
No, it's beyond that. A corner, as I just said, a corner is not a corner. It's a side. So when it says four corners, it means four sides.
Uh-huh.
And the word kanaf, which is what your English would translate as the word corner, doesn't mean corner. It means a side.
Excellent.
The edge, the rim of something. So you have a shirt, it's round. You put one here, one here, one in the back, one in the back. That's basically it.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend.